Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, we're kind of multitasking here this morning because I'm waiting on a package to be delivered. So give us a moment here. All right, and I'm working with two devices, smartphone and laptop. And okay, here we go. All right, so let's get with it.
Construction. It's about 40% complete. All right, so this is the second Wafati that we have started construction on. People live in here off and on. People come.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it had, was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, oh, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kurt.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see. Oh,
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I will be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, let's see. Now, we're waiting on a FedEx package here, so we'll probably do an abbreviated program today. First up is Freeport, Kansas. Freeport, Kansas, that's our tiny town number 31. Tiny town number 31, so let's just get at it with Freeport, Kansas. Freeport, Kansas is an unincorporated community in Harper County, Kansas. As of the 2010 census, it had a population of 5 people. It was incorporated. It was incorporated as a city up until 2017 when it dissolved its municipal charter. Okay, before officially being established as a city, Freeport was preceded by a settlement called Malothian, Kansas, which was located a few miles from Freeport's current location. Malothian is the Scottish word for Midland. Malothian had a few amenities, a post office, and in 1879, as well as a local school and church. Freeport was founded in 1885. Once again, here's another tiny town that didn't want to get big. I suspect we got relatives that talk about can you imagine generational wealth? Some people pass down furniture or maybe a house. These people are passing down a town generation to generation. It was located on Missouri Railway. In the late 19th century, Freeport, Kansas was a growing town. Freeport boasted 3 lumber yards, economic engine, 2 grain elevators, and 9 grocery stores and 5 dry goods stores. The two meat markets and 2 hardware stores. 3 drugstores, 4 blacksmiths, 1 bank, and 2 hotels. In 1892, the population of Freeport reached its peak of 700 people. Let's see. Well, today, they're at 5. But they're over 100 years old, so good for Freeport, Kansas. That's our tiny town feature for today. And let's see, we've done 31 so far. Let's see. Now, the other thing I want to announce is, and we'll get more into this next week, but starting with Monday, Six-Figure Day School. We've mentioned on here a couple of times that we want to have a six-figure. Look, if you're interested in having a six-figure day or a seven-figure day, we want six-figure day school on Monday. And included in that, I believe that anybody can earn 6 figures in a day, or even 7 figures in a day, if you would get rid of some self-imposed disabilities. And we're going to cover that also with the topic of learned helplessness. Like, for instance, the guy Brigham who founded the town of Everett, Washington. When he founded the town of Everett, Washington, and he was a carpenter. Okay, but electricity. He did not use any electricity to found that town. He built a cabin by himself with no, there was no electricity. In the convenient human form that we know, there were no generators. When he founded the town of Everett, Washington, no such thing as power tools or electrified power tools when he founded it. But yet, there was no Home Depot, there was no Lowe's, there was no Menards, there was no Ace Hardware, there's no Lumber 84. He had none of that. Yet, he was able to build a cabin, a house, without none of those modern conveniences that we have today. So with our internet connections, smartphones, tablets, desktop computers, and power tools, and we have Lowe's, we have Home Depot, we have Lumber 84, we have Menards, we have Ace Hardware, and many other things. But the average person today, the education that you got from grades 1 through 12, or however or how far you went, for the most part, we're helpless. We don't know how to feed. On a critical mass basis, we don't know how to feed ourselves. We got to go to McDonald's. We got to go to Publix. We got to go to Whole Foods. We have to go to the supermarket. Because when it comes to growing food or catching food, that chicken dinner that you had last night, that two-piece from Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or whatever we got, somebody caught that bird in order for you to eat. Learn helplessness, and we're going to get deep into this Monday, along with, because this is all part of six-figure school, six-figure day school. It's the state, learn helplessness is the state that occurs after a person has experienced a stressful situation repeatedly. They come to believe that they are unable to control or change the situation. They do not try. Even when opportunities for change become available. What's this? Affirmative action was abolished, I don't know, a month ago or whatever it was. You have some people running around that once it lives, read the definition again. Learned helplessness is the state that, I'm going to give my definition. Learned helplessness occurs, when a person comes to believe that they are unable to control or change a situation, so they do not even try, even when opportunities for change become available. That's why I play that Jamarian Styles piece practically every morning. Here's a guy with no hands, and most people would call that his disability. But in Jamarian Styles' mind, he didn't look at that as a handicap or a disability. He made the team. You know what? There were some people that when he went out for the team that they were better than him and possibly better than the other players on the team, but they didn't go out for the team because in their mind they had crippled themselves, they had disabled themselves, and the fear factor got in and they didn't even try. They didn't even go out for the team. Now, he didn't play much, as the audio says. But when he finally got in, he scored two buckets, he shot 2 3-pointers and made it. The educational system, in my opinion, to a high degree, and at home, too, because we learned that there are many teachers in our lives. So helplessness, to a high degree, is learned. And you don't believe you can do this or that. So with six-figure school, and that's what we call it, six-figure day school, we'll be teaching people how to make six figures in a day. Now, I'm going through this myself. But some of the platforms that we're going to have will be how to use eBay to have a six-figure day. Now, I'll give you an example. I used to run auctions on eBay, and I'm going to start these back up, where we would have like a seven-day auction, and we might earn $5,000 that week from doing our eBay auction. All right, well, let's do the arithmetic here. Let's say, let's take $100,000, that's six figures, divided by the item that sold by $20,000. If we did that, if we ran 19 more auctions, we can do seven-day auctions or we can do one-day auctions. And that's how you can take $5. Just take something small. It doesn't have to be a fire because we were doing houses. But just take one simple thing that you've been successful at and do it over, wash, rinse, repeat. So next week, Monday, we're going to get into eBay, these Craigslist, and these classified ads, where you can have six-figure days and those six-figure weeks. And matter of fact, we won't work at it. Matter of fact, we're going to take about a half hour out every day, we're going to do at least 30 minutes of six-figure day school. FedEx. So on that note, everyone have a good evening.